We're continuing our series in the Gospel of John. If you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 16, that's page 1084, if you're following in the Pew Bibles. John chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verse 12 and following. John 16 and verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father? They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again. You will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word today. So this is Pentecost Sunday when we remember Jesus saying to the disciples, you are to wait. Ascension 10 days ago. And then he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. And those disciples met probably in the temple precincts. And I wonder what was in their mind. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is going to come. I wonder what they were expecting. I'm not sure they expected the sound of a blowing wind, tongues of fire resting upon them, and of all things, different languages being spoken by these plain Galilean men. And yet when the Spirit came, there was no mistaking his power and his presence. It was an extraordinary event. And when Peter preached, as I quoted earlier from the prophecy of Joel, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, as we've gone through the last couple of chapters of John's Gospel, we've looked at this extensive block of teaching that John has given us from Jesus about the Holy Spirit. We've seen that Jesus emphasizes the fact that although he is going, the good news is that he is sending his Spirit to be with the church. And last week we saw that the Spirit is the one who is the Spirit of conviction. He convicts the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He's the prosecutor. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate us, to bring our spirits alive from death to new life. And then the Holy Spirit starts to apply God's word, the Bible. He starts to apply that word to our hearts. And what the Spirit does, as we saw last week, is a quiet work. It's an unseen work. It's a background work. And he shows us our sin. He shows us Jesus for who he really is. And there's a connection. We begin to trust and believe and surrender our lives. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of conviction and regeneration. But we also said last week that he's not only the Spirit of conviction, he is also the Spirit of revelation. And we kind of ran out of time to look at that, so we're going to look at that this morning. And I've entitled this sermon, The Anointed Community, because it was the desire of God the Father and Jesus the Son that the church that was left on earth would be anointed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That the tangible presence of God would be with his people, upon his people, and in his people. And where in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit inspired prophets and certain individuals for certain tasks, in the New Testament the Holy Spirit is not just coming upon certain people for certain tasks, and for some of the writers of the Old Testament to write the Old Testament scriptures, but after the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was coming on all the church and all the children of God. So there's been a significant change here. And so all the believers, all of the church, have the Holy Spirit for revelation, inspiration, and direction. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, verse 12, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. And he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that the Father has is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Note, you see the very close interplay and the interlinking between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, sadly and tragically, if you go all the way back to the 11th century, there was a huge dispute between the Western Church and the Eastern Church. And they fell out, really, over whether the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father or whether the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son. And to this day, the Western Church and the Eastern Church, the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, are divided on this issue. Was the Holy Spirit sent by the Father alone, or was the Holy Spirit sent by the Father and the Son? Now, it seems to me, and I'm sure it seems to you whenever we read John 16, that there's a very close connection and interplay between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it seems to me that as the Western Church believes that the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son, there's this lovely interplay between all three persons of the Trinity. And John's emphasis always is Trinitarian. We should not separate what God has joined together. All are divine. All are on the same page. All are involved in salvation. All are involved in blessing the church. All are involved in the reaching and saving of people. So it is unfortunate that the church has divided over this, in a sense, minor issue. But we believe that the Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son. Now, Jesus had a matter of days before he was going to be crucified, and he wanted to communicate these essential truths about the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Now, he will tell you more. There's only so much you can bear now. There's only so much you can take in now. But the Spirit is coming. He will reveal more things to you for the days to come. And so this is wonderful that today we can say the Spirit of Jesus is with us. The Spirit of Jesus continues to be with His church. The presence of Jesus is in, with, and upon the church. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit has been to direct and inspire the apostles and others to complete the canon of Scripture. So whenever Jesus is speaking in John 16, I think what he's talking about here, one of the things he's talking about is the inspiration that would now be upon certain people to complete the Bible, to complete the New Testament canon, C-A-N-O-N. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, Peter says about the Old Testament, "You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Up until this time, the early church, all the early church had as their Bible were the Old Testament Scriptures. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have any of the letters of Paul or Peter. All they had was the Old Testament. And Peter says that the prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit in writing the Old Testament. But Jesus is saying, now I'm going to take that same Spirit, send it to certain people who are going to complete the canon of Scripture. They're going to complete the Bible. They're going to write the New Testament Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3 and 16, we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." God breathed out His Word to His people via the Holy Spirit. The words are written down by human beings, but it is the Spirit within them who guides them. And this is the work of the Spirit, which was completed after Jesus left, after He ascended to heaven. And He ensured that the Spirit would come to complete the process of the canon of Scripture. But the work of the Holy Spirit continues. He applies this word to our hearts. Now, it may be worth saying, just in terms of that process of the New Testament being completed, that whenever folks read the Gospels, they maybe think these things were written a few years, maybe even months after Jesus left us, but they weren't. They were written anything between 20 to 30 to 40 years afterwards, after Jesus, after the events. And so it was a very oral culture. All these stories and all these conversations that Jesus would have had with the disciples would have been communicated orally over the years. But then there came a point where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and Peter, and others were inspired and urged to commit these things, these stories, these narratives to Scripture, to become Scripture, to writing. And some of them were writing 20, 30, 40 years after the events. But you see, the Holy Spirit brought these things to their remembrance. That's what Jesus says. The Spirit will bring things to your memory that I have said to you and that I continue to want to say to you. So that is the process of how the canon of Scripture came together. The Spirit of revelation is speaking through Old and New Testament. But the other thing I think Jesus means when he says to the disciples that I have more to say to you, but you can't bear it now, is that he has more to say to his church after Scripture has been completed. It's not that we're adding to Scripture, but we are applying Scripture to the church and to our current situations. I like to put it this way, that New Testament prophecy, once the canon of Scripture is completed, is not about the newness of revelation, it's about the nowness of revelation. It's about taking God's revealed word and applying it to a situation or a person's life now, today. And this is exactly what Peter was saying through the prophet Joel. When the Spirit speaks, he will speak through dreams and visions and prophetic words or words of knowledge. But we bring all these things to the touchstone of Scripture because they should not contradict Scripture. If someone says, I believe that the Lord is saying such and such, well, then we bring it to the touchstone of Scripture. If it contradicts Scripture, then the Lord wasn't saying it, because the Holy Spirit will not contradict himself. I contradict myself all the time, but he doesn't contradict himself because he's God. And as the Apostle Paul says, whenever someone says, I think I have a word from the Lord, we should test it. We hold it up against Scripture. We see an interesting application of this as Scripture was continuing to be formed and the New Testament was continuing to be written, in fact, even before it was written. In the first century, the gospel was being spoken more and more to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. The church just had the Old Testament, as I've said, to guide them. But one day, Peter had a vision, and it was a vision of a sheet with many unclean animals in that sheet, and he heard the voice of the Lord saying, get up and eat. And Peter said, but Lord, these are unclean animals. According to the Old Testament, we're not supposed to eat these animals. They're unclean. Because there was a demarcation, there was a division between Jews and all the rest of the world. And this is one of the demarcations, one of the things that they had to show as being different. But the Holy Spirit is saying, well, that ban is now being lifted. Now the gospel is for Gentiles. Now, Peter, it's okay for you to go to Cornelius' house. Now, it's okay for you to eat with him, because the gospel is breaking through that barrier. The time has come. There is a change of policy, if you like. And it was the Holy Spirit who guided Peter to this change of policy. And then that was subsequently included in the writing of Scripture for us to see and apply. Peter in Acts has said that the Spirit is now released over the church. We are an anointed community, so we need to be open to the Spirit, granting us dreams and visions and prophetic words. Paul follows this up in the Corinthian correspondence as he says, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit is giving to the church, especially the gift of prophecy. Excel in gifts that build up the church. In the rest of chapter 16, Jesus then speaks in terms of us having a direct line to the Father. He says, you don't need to pray to me anymore, in a sense. You can use my name, but you pray directly to the Father in Jesus' name, and that will have my authority with it. Verse 23, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. You have believed that I came from God. So Jesus is now saying the time has come for you again to pray directly to the Father through the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's what our prayer should be. To the Father in the name of Jesus, but through the Spirit. The Spirit carries our prayers. This lovely Trinitarian movement continues. And this is something that we emphasize in prayer ministry and in how it operates. Intercession and praying on behalf of others, for others, is part of what is the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. In verse 23, we're asking the Father for things in the name of Jesus. That's intercession. We might be praying for a person's health, we might be praying for what's going on in their home life or their jobs or whatever. That's interceding, praying for someone who is hurting or who needs healing or whatever. And this is something that the Holy Spirit prompts us in and helps us with. But in prayer ministry, there is a further element to prayer ministry where the direction is slightly different. When we're interceding for someone, the direction is from us upwards to heaven. But in prayer ministry, whenever we open our hearts to the Spirit, we're saying, Holy Spirit, is there something that you have for this person? In other words, is there something coming in the other direction that we need to hear from you? So intercession is going up this way. Prayer ministry, in a sense, is receiving from the Father and Jesus through the Spirit. We are receiving in receiving mode. And this may be prophetic words. It may be words of knowledge that are spiritually discerned. It's not adding to Scripture. It is taking Scripture and saying, how does this apply to this individual and to this person? Because Jesus, we believe, continues to speak to his church. This is the implications of what he's saying in John 16. He's saying, there's much more I want to say to you. But you can't bear it all now. In fact, you don't need it all now. But there will come a time when you will. And so if you're following me, what I'm saying is that with the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to complete the canon of Scripture, the revelation that is full and final and complete. But he is also sending the Holy Spirit to the church as the anointed ones to receive more revelation from God for our lives currently. That we are open to prophetic words, we're open to words of knowledge, we're open to the Spirit speaking to us today. And he does this. He wants to do this. And often he whispers. He doesn't shout. He whispers. He speaks words of encouragement to build us up. He speaks words of challenge sometimes to stir us up. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians that whenever we receive a word, we should not put out the Spirit's fire. If the Spirit is wanting to speak to us, listen to him, and then test what he says against Scripture. The prayer ministry team are trained to listen. We have had some days of training and in our own lives where we try and nurture our spiritual antennae. Is the Lord speaking? Is he saying something? Is he prompting? Is he urging? But this is something all of us can do because the church is anointed by the Holy Spirit. We are all carriers of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may have been trained in it a bit more, we maybe have more of an expectation, but this is actually for the whole church. It's for the whole church. The Holy Spirit is the gift to the church, and all of the church is the gift to you. And so it is good from time to time, and even as you're out walking, to say, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want me to learn today? Is there anybody you want me to speak to? I'm sure Janice won't mind, but she shared on staff one day that she was driving the car, and just along the road outside Ballymena, she was heading home, and she passed a lady passing, just walking along in the road, and she felt the Holy Spirit saying, "You need to speak to that lady." Now, this is, as she said, and occasionally it's happened to me, you hate this, you know, you really hate it because you think, oh, no, I'm going to have to go all the way around back again. And so she had this real tussle, this real turmoil in her heart. Should I speak to this lady? Should I not speak to this lady? But anyway, she decided that she would, and so we went up round the roundabout back again and stopped the car. Excuse me, hope you don't mind me speaking to you, but I believe the Lord wants me to. Now, there's a chance someone looks at you and thinks, you're a complete nutter. There is that chance. So there's always a risk. It's not easy. But there is also the opportunity for real blessing and answering to prayer and responding to the prompting of the Lord. And so she, in obedience, she spoke to that lady. I'm not going to tell you what she said, but she spoke to that lady. But any one of us could do that. Any one of us could do that. If we're open to the Holy Spirit and we sense the Spirit saying to us, speak to that person, encourage that person, don't go there, do go there. That is the work of the Holy Spirit today. And it is not for some super spiritual elite. It's for the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. I can't dump it all on you now. Jesus is alive. Jesus is speaking to his church. Be aware of that. Be open to it. Be expectant. Just as the disciples were told, I want you to wait, and the Holy Spirit will come. That sense of waiting and hoping and looking to the Lord must be ours. Let me finish. Last week I spoke about the work of prevenient grace, where the Holy Spirit begins to go to work on us. He softens up our hearts. He brings us to the place of surrender and of hearing him. And I said last week that this by and large operates beyond our control, like birth does. You didn't make yourself be born. That was outside your control. And so it is with being born again in the Holy Spirit. It's outside your control. God is in control. But I said last week, I said that in the process, once you are regenerated and once you are brought to life in Christ, then a process of sanctification, which the Holy Spirit is involved with, starts to happen. And in that process of sanctification, you are very much involved, very much involved. And so it comes to walking with the Spirit and in the Spirit. pardon me, going back to the very first Word and Spirit conference. I remember Simon Ponsonby saying that we need to put ourselves around the food. In other words, to get an appetite, to get the juices flowing and a hunger, you need to put yourself around the food. And if we are to nurture our spiritual antennae, we do it by putting ourselves around the food, by daily reading God's word, by daily praying, by weekly coming together with God's people. These are the ways in which we develop our spiritual antennae. These are the ways in which God speaks by his Spirit into an atmosphere and an environment where people are open to listening. And this is that environment today. But if you don't gather with God's people, if you don't read God's word, if you don't daily be in prayer, how on earth is God's Spirit going to speak to you? You say, I can't remember the last time God's Spirit spoke to me. Well, is that because you're not in the word, you're not with God's people, you're not praying and seeking him? Because Jesus is speaking. He wants to speak to us. I have so much more to say to you, says Jesus. You cannot bear it now, but the Spirit is coming, and he will pass on what I want to say to you. So let's keep placing ourselves in the path of the Spirit. We are an anointed community. So let's do that now. Let's just be still. And let's place ourselves in the path of the Spirit and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to your church. Lord, even as I go out the doors of this building today, I want to be used by you. If you want me to speak to somebody, lead me. But I want to be open to you because your Spirit is alive and Jesus wants to speak. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak to each one of us. It might be a word of comfort, a word of peace, a word of encouragement, a word of challenge. But we bless your name, and we thank you for the promise that where two or three are, you are there in the midst to bless us and encourage us. So on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we invite you to come and speak to us. And in your daily quiet times, perhaps to nurture that attitude of listening and saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And to you be the glory, the honor, and the power, both now and forevermore. Amen.